Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you for another privileged opportunity to come before your presence with singing, just to bless your precious and holy name. Father, we welcome the precious, precious Holy Spirit into this place as we come to glorify you, as we come to seek your kingdom, as we come to worship you. For Father, you said in your word that you inhabit the praises of your people. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. Rain down your glory even the more, Father, as you look for participators and not just spectators, to join in with the holy angels and bowing down and worshiping you. For you alone are worthy. You alone are deserving. You alone, Father, do we give all the glory and adoration. But Lord, we acknowledge you this morning. We acknowledge your holy presence. Lord, I thank you for every heartbeat in this room. I ask now that you move in such a mighty and tangible way, Father, that they would know, Lord, that they've been in your presence. Lord, as we come now, surrendering, Lord, just to seek your face. Lord, we just pray now for the speaker. We thank you for the anointing that's upon his life and upon your words. And Father, as we go further, we go, Lord, with the mindset of intercessors, praying for the world, praying for the foreign countries. We praying, Father, for governor officials and people alike. Father, we thank you once again. You're such a kind and wonderful Father. We praise you and we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Rozelle. If you're here for the first time today, there's a restroom in the back. If you need a restroom and there's coffee over here, feel free to get up and get the coffee. And before we have the Pledge of Allegiance, I just personally want to thank everyone here that made the National Day of Prayer a very, very successful day. Henry bought this incredible sound system that we could take out to Shelby Farms. Dave worked all day long. We had Gary pack it, unpack it. We had Paul Burkus. We had Christy. We had Alvin out there all day long. We ran out of time after 6 hours. We ran out of daylight. We could have kept going. It was just phenomenal, even though the weather was crazy. And two things really was exciting was that I started off that morning at Colleyville High School. The Gideons were distributing scriptures. We gave out about 1,000 scriptures at Colleyville High School for between an hour period. Then I went to Bellevue at a noon National Day of Prayer event where Governor Lee zoomed in for about 10 minutes. And when I got out of the prayer gathering there, I turned my airplane mode off and I looked on there and I had a text from my employer. I had taken a day off with the National Day of Prayer. And my employer is Todd Starnes. He has a nationally syndicated three-hour program every day on 116 affiliates. And he says, I'd like for you to call in on this program because he says everybody thinks this is Cinco de Mayo Day. So he set me up with a softball. So I call in. I wait about 5 minutes, and he's talking about salsa and chips and everything like this. And 116 different stations are listening about Cinco de Mayo. He says, what day is this? And I said, this is a National Day of Prayer. And I said, we just finished praying. And I had this in my hand. I said, we just finished praying, asking for prayer and confession and repentance. We prayed for the military. We prayed for city and county first responders. We prayed for the media. I said, Todd, we prayed for you. We prayed for business and economy, those in authority, executive and legislative branches. And you have one of these on your table. Take this with you because it's not just a day of prayer. It's every day should be a National Day of Prayer. We prayed for judicial, Supreme Court justices, the state governments, local governments, education, families, revival in the Ukraine, and we prayed for pastors and churches. And then when we get out to Shelby Farms, Steve Albanetti, who opened up in prayer, said he had a lady in his church that worked for Channel 24, and she wanted to
do a story on what the National Day of Prayer was, and Henry and I had an opportunity to just share briefly about what the National Day of Prayer was. So the Lord gave us visibility just outside what we were doing there at Hyde Park Pavilion. And I really believe it's because of what we've been doing on Monday night for the last 2 years, going into 3 years now, spending off of Ed's prayer group, and basically just interceding, praying for others. And we just take these with you. I mean, forget that Bellevue's on the top of that. I mean, we took this out there. We just want you to pray. And our nothing's going to happen outside of what we do with intercession. So Ray is a Vietnam veteran. If you all would stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll get on with the program. $5, whatever. I want everybody to participate and contribute on the way out for our worship leaders. Paul's going to be gone next week. His daughter is graduating from the eighth grade. Bruce Carroll will be back next week. Alvin, come up here and share with us the big, big, big transition that's taking place in your life. And we need to pray for this brother. He's been very faithful joining us every... You're still not getting out of Monday nights.
Oh, no.
Okay, all right. But come here, brother. Alvin, as many of you know, is a very, very gifted, anointed saxophonist, a flute player, does the national anthems at the Grizzlies games, and has been coming down here for well over a year or so. All the events that we have out at Shelby Farms, he comes out there and blows a horn. And you called me yesterday or last night and was sharing with me about this transition. We want to be able to support you in what you're doing. If you could just tell us briefly what's going on,
sure,
okay?
Thank you. Hallelujah. Pisha. God is good. Amen. First of all, thank you, Brother David, for also Brother Henry in the back for this ministry, Awaken Memphis. I'll be honest, when I first started here, actually I've been with David about twice now, and I wound up leaving for about a year, and then the Lord sent me back through Nikki Carroll, Bruce's wife. And I've grown so much, learned so much, gleaned so much from all of you ministers and people of faith. It's been encouraging for me. It has helped quicken me in my faith, and I'm grateful to be here, and I've learned so much. I'm grateful. But to be brief, about a week ago, the Lord opened up a door for a major producer, and I'll give his name so you know who to pray for. His name is David Longoria. In case you've never heard of him, this is Eva Longoria's cousin. Both of their fathers are brothers. He is a Latin Grammy Award-winning trumpeter, but also a producer of 52 gold and platinum albums. And he has agreed to help me with my next full CD gospel jazz, inspirational jazz project. And so I'm going to be on lockdown for about 6 months. I will continue the international prayer session via Zoom on Mondays, but unfortunately I'm going to have to take a leave for a little while from being here, but I'll be back by God's grace as soon as I can. So just keep me in your prayers, and thank you. I thank you for your love and your support. Thank you. The Holy Spirit told me I surrender all.
While Alvin gets ready, I'm going to have Gene come up here. Gene and I go back a long way. I go back about as long as I do with, maybe even longer than Henry. When I was in the FCA in the 80s, Gene had a pickup truck, and we would fill that pickup truck with watermelons, and we'd go around to the schools, and we'd ice them down, and Calvin Clark and Reggie and all these other guys, we'd go to these schools, and we'd get these football teams, and we would just feed these kids watermelons to get them to stay after practice, and we shared the gospel with them. And a couple weeks ago, there was a Reagan dinner down at the Landers Center down in South Haven, and my employer, Todd Starnes, was speaking. He was a keynote speaker, just like they had a Lincoln dinner a couple Fridays ago here at the Agri Center. And I met a man that was the vice president of Planners Bank, and he invited me to a Bible study last Wednesday morning at his bank, corporate headquarters there at Silo Center there in South Haven. And I get on the elevator, and this young man right here gets on. I ask him his name. He said, Ronnie. I said, Ronnie who? He says, Ronnie Johnson. And I go, man, I know Ronnie Johnson. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a pastor. And I said, well, Ronnie's a pastor too. I said, why don't you come speak next week? And I said, everybody will think Ronnie Johnson's speaking. And but anyway, Gene knows Ronnie. I'm going to have him introduce Ronnie, and we'll let Alvin's play before brother comes up.
Okay.
Gene is a CPA, so if you need a good CPA, this man right here will take care of you.
Lastly, David Longoria is a man of God. He's a man of faith, and we both speak the same spiritual and musical language. I just wanted to share that. Please feel to sing along and just worship the Lord with me. I surrender all.
It's truly an honor and pleasure to come here today and be with you guys. And as David said, we go back a long ways. And Henry, I probably go back further than you think with you. Your father, Tom, Mr. Tom, was my mentor when I was coming up. And he guided me through a lot of trying times. I had just graduated from college, and I was blessed to go to a CPA firm that did car dealerships, and I was the youngest one on staff, so I got to travel all the time, brother. And I can tell you a lot of stories about that. But anyway, today what we're here to do is honor the Lord. And I told Ronnie, I said, you know, we go back in when we get there, son, because they may be thinking they could get Ronnie Johnson, you know, the famous one, and I hope they don't think they're getting the coach, Gene Stallings from Alabama, too. So we go back in, we go apply the running from the bear theory, you know, just don't be the slowest one, brother. So that's the reason I parked close to the door. Anyway, I'm here to introduce my brother. Ronnie and I go back about a year. As David said, he came to this Bible study we started, I guess you call it. It's a group of really nobodies that came together trying to figure out how to better live for the Lord and how to encourage each other and all that. And that's where I met Ronnie about a year ago. And it's like I adopted him. I'm telling you, he got my heart. And I remember the first time he came to me and he says, "Brother Gene," I was in trouble then, I knew. He said, "I got a question." I said, "Okay, what you got, brother?" He said, I think the Lord's calling me to preach." I said, "Uh-oh." I said, "Well, Ronnie, there's a lot of callings. There's a lot of callings in a man's life when he gets saved." And I said, "There's a lot of difference in being called to be a pastor than being called to be a minister." Remember that, Ronnie? I said, "A pastor has even a higher calling." So he said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" I said, "Well, now that's putting you on the spot." I said, "Son, I'm not real sure, but I think that what you first need to do is get with Melanie and y'all pray together about it and listen to the Lord." You know, I remembered I'd just been reading about Samuel. When Samuel was given over to Eli as a child, right after he had been weaned, and Samuel was raised by the priest Eli, and so he had some pretty good, you know, training and all that. And he was lying one night close to the tabernacle, you know, and he was sleeping, and his master Eli was old at that time, and he was in a different area sleeping, and the Lord called his name. He said, "Samuel." Samuel thought it was Eli calling. He jumps up and he goes to Eli, says, "Eli, here I am. What do you need?" Eli said, "Wasn't me. Go back to bed." He did that. You know how many times he did that? Four times. You know, many times God calls us to do certain things, and we have to have the ears, but sometimes we get confused, and we have to listen. But you know, God will keep calling us. When God calls us over and over and over to do something, it doesn't make sense most of the time in my life. But you know what? It's not going to make sense in the world's life, you know? And that's what I told Ronnie. It's not going to make sense from a worldly standpoint, but it makes all the sense in the you can get from an eternal standpoint. Well, Ronnie listened, and I saw him grow. I saw him get committed. Now he's starting a new church in Olive Branch called Reconciliation Church. Well, I said, "Man, that's a great name." You know, CPA comes out of me. I think about, you know, reconciling this with that. You know, it's pretty hard sometimes, and there's always problems, you know. But I remember something that Dr. Rogers told me one time. He said, "There's a world over here that we have to live in, and it's crazy. It's full of sin and all this, but we got to live in it. And we have to live under authority of the world." You know, we do that unless it contradicts our belief in the Lord. And then, all right, David, I got it. "Son, don't ask a Baptist to introduce anybody, son. Be glad I didn't bring my Bible up here. You know, I'd be preaching, son. I'd be having a hallelujah time." So, you know, you just hang on. I told Ronnie, I said, "Look, son, I kind of misled you. Said you was going to have about 45 minutes. I said, that's not right. I'm going to... Oh, I got you. Got radio going? Well, anyway, let me do this. Let me shorten it. Thank you, David. David's always interrupting me, you know. I want us to not only honor Ronnie, I want us to reach out our hands And let's pray for Ronnie right now. And pray for his wife and his daughter and his church. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, how your calling is clear. Thank you, Lord, for the open heart of Ronnie. Thank you, Lord, for just making it so clear to him that he jumps right in it. And thank you for his helpmate, Melanie. Lord, I pray for both of them and their daughter, their sweet daughter. Lord, I thank you for how you have joined them together in this challenge to start a church. Lord, I pray that you guide his steps. You bind Satan from each one of them in the family, Lord. I pray that you anoint him. Speak to him, Lord. Speak to him and through him, just like you said you would through it in Psalms 81:10. Says, open your mouth wide and you'll fill it. So, Lord, we ask for the filling and the anointing of our brother. And thank you, Lord, for what you go do with him. Amen. So let's welcome Ronnie. And let's, you know, it's a special day for Ronnie, too. His daughter is graduating. She's going to be a pharmacist. So anybody that needs any help, we know where to go, right? Thank you. Ronnie, come on up, son. And hey, you got all the time now.
Good morning. Let's thank Gene for that on today. What an honor it is to be here this morning. I thank you guys so much for allowing. I'm still trying to figure out who Gene is talking about because I'm looking for that person. But no, Gene, thanks so much for the introduction. David, thank you so much. On last Wednesday, we had an opportunity to meet, and it was an honor and a privilege to meet you. I went home and told Melody on last week that when I met you, that it was just something, I knew it was something different. You meet some people and, you know, they say, you know, we love God and, you know, you're a great person. And they say all the things, but I could feel in your spirit the genuineness. So I appreciate you for that. And I just know that Lord is going to continue to use you. The Lord will continue to bless you. And God will definitely keep his hand on you. Amen. Let's give David a round of applause. And I think he had another gentleman back there. Gene, thank you so much. I got a couple of friends here today. I got a friend that we've been friends now 20 years. Thank you so much for getting up. Listen. If someone get up at 5:30 in the morning to come hear you preach, that person loves you, right? So thank you so much. Thank you, Ed. And you know, I couldn't dare do this without my better half. You know, 18 years ago, this June will be 18 years ago that we've been married. And I would not be standing here today. I would not be the man if I didn't have this woman beside me. I see how much she pray. I see how much she loves. I see how much that she's keeping our home together. So today, when my daughter received a doctor degree, it's because of you. Because you prayed. You kept us together. You kept our family together. So I thank you so much for that. I won't be before you long, but we're coming out of a day of prayer, which was National Day of Prayer last week. So I was like, you know, Lord, what is that you want to say to your people on today? And God said that, I want you to encourage them. You guys have had a number of preachers and ministers to come through here. But I believe that what God wanted to say today, all of us can apply it to our lives. Because it's going to challenge us to take a deep look within. To really see what matters the most. And so, today before I say a word in regards to this text, let's pray before the Father. Father, I come before you today. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. Father, I thank you for your people this morning. I thank you for their families. So, Lord, I pray today, God, I'm nothing without you. Lord, I pray today that I would just hide myself behind the cross because I'm nothing, Lord. So, Father, as I try to explain what you're saying to your people today, Lord, I pray that their eyes will be open to receive from you. I pray today, God, that, Lord, you will manifest yourself in their lives. I just cover us today in the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever you want to say, that it will go forth without any interruption, God. That, Lord, your word said, he that has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. So, Father, I thank you today. Your people will be blessed. We will be challenged. But more than anything, Father, you will be glorified. So we honor you today. We thank you, Lord. And we do decree and declare this. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's give God a shout of praise in this place, because he's worthy to be praised. So I'd like to speak briefly on the subject of our power source. Our power source. And if you have a Bible, we're going to read Mark 1:35. That's Mark 1:35. And it read, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Now, in that passage of scripture, the disciples was looking for him, but Jesus was out there with the Father, spending time with the Father and allowing the Father to impart into him. Because if you continue to read on down, later that morning, they will go out and do ministry. They will go out and pray for people, to heal the sick, to do miracle signs and wonders. And the thing about Jesus is that he knew that it was important for him to spend that time with the Father so the Father could pour into him. Now you think about it for a moment. Jesus was 100% God and Jesus was 100% man. 100% God and 100% man. He was God. But he still knew the importance of being isolated and going alone in a place of solitude, spending with the Father. And the question I'd like to pose today, how often do we get up in the morning and don't have time to spend with the Father? We're out there in the world trying to make business decisions. We're out there trying to raise families and haven't spent no time with the Father. The Father is calling us, church, to spend time with him. And there's a quote by Billy Graham. It says, "In the morning prayer, prayer is the key that opens to us the treasures of God, mercies and blessings. In the evening, it is the key that shuts up under his protection and safeguard." So so in the morning, you start your day with prayer. In the evening, you end your day with prayer. Because in the evening, basically what you're asking God, you're thanking him for everything he did that day. You're thanking God for protecting you that day. You're thanking God for keeping you that day. But through the night, you're asking God to be a shield, to protect you from all the harm and danger that might come. Amen. So it's vital for us to follow that example of Jesus. Let's look up the definition of source. And the sermon title is our power source. The definition of source is where something, someone, a place, or thing come from. And all of us, what we're creating in the image of God, right? So we came from God. So we have to rely on God as being our source. Because when it comes to, when we don't rely on that source and we get caught up in all the traps and all the entanglements of this world, we focus on that and not God. But God is saying to someone today to turn your attention back to him. Don't focus on what the person might be doing on the job. Don't focus on what might be going on with that difficult family member. Don't focus on that individual even might be going to church with you that you feel that doesn't care. Because the thing about it, when we connect to our power source, which is God, he charges us daily. If you think about that cell phone you have, just imagine for a moment, could that phone function the way it needs to function if you only charged it once or twice a week? If you only charge your cell phone once or twice a week, would it function? Sad to say, church, there are believers They only charge their spiritual batteries once or twice a week. And there's a stat. It says people that believe in Jesus, 79% of them pray daily. 14% prays weekly. And 7% says that they only pray once a month. Some say they seldomly pray, and some don't even know how to pray. Now, how could we be connected to such a loving Father that cares so much about us, and we don't even know how to communicate? Prayer ain't nothing but a conversation.
That's right.
Just a conversation between you and God. And I have another quote by Dr. Adrian Rogers, and this is what it said. The prayer offered to God in the morning during your quiet time is the key that unlocks the door of the day. Any athlete knows that it's the start that ensures a good finish. So it's important for us to have that time set aside. If your schedule says you have to be at work at 7 and you normally leave home around 5:30, get up at 4:30 to have that impartation with our Father. So when the challenges come and the rudeness of this world tries to attack you, you will be able to reply back with the love of God. Because if you're not being charged spiritually in the morning, you will not be able to face it. So I say to you today, allow God to charge you. It could be 10 minutes. It could be 15 minutes. It could be 30. And the more you fall in love with our Father, you will want to spend an hour with him, an hour and a half, where you get so caught up with him, where you forget about time, where time is not even of an essence, because that's just the type of relationship he wants us to have. So the question I'd like to propose, do some of us need to redesign our schedules? Have the business of life robbed us of one of the most precious gifts that we have? Prayer is a gift from God that allows us to communicate with them, to spend time with them. Amen?
Amen.
So there's three areas of prayer that I like to discuss. And the first one is the prayer of protection. When you spend that time with God, he protects you from so much. If you look at the life of David in Psalms 91, there was a prayer of protection. But the reason why David had so much confidence in the Father, because as a boy, as a young man, I can just imagine that he spent so much time out there in the pastures talking to God. He established that relationship, so he knew when his enemies would come at him that God was with him, that God would protect him, that God would be a shield around him. And that scripture says what? 1,000 might fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left hand, but it would not come near you. So there's protection in prayer. And I would just recommend, pray Psalm 91 over your family daily. Because in the course that we're dealing with the evil world. And going back to Mark 1:35, it says that Jesus rose early in the morning. It was still dark, so it wasn't near sunrise. So I'm just assuming in my mind that it most likely was between 1 and 4 o'clock in the morning. But from in the spiritual realm, if you study the on the evil side, is that most of their evil stuff goes on after 12 o'clock. So between the hours of 12 and 3, that's when you have a lot of things that's going on that's not right. Think about it. How often do you hear of bad accidents after 12 o'clock? A family member on their way home, something bad happened. You look on Fox 13 News, someone got murdered at 2 o'clock, 3:30, 1:33. You're looking at those times. Well, in my study and reading, that's the time where the evil stuff is being released into the world, into the atmosphere. So if we're getting up at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, they have a 4 or 6 hour jump start on us. And we're wondering why we're having so much hell going on in our families, in our jobs, and in our careers. So we have to get up in enough time to counterattack anything that the enemy has sent us against us. Y'all, we're dealing with principalities and spiritual weakness in high places. You can just look at the news here in Memphis and see what's going on. So I challenge to get up and allow our Father to just love on you, to protect you, and to keep you. Because one thing I know, He's a loving Father. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what mistakes you made. I don't care what the world might have said. God loves you more than you can imagine. And He said that there's nothing that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is why we can go to the Father. Jesus paid it all. Amen. So David understood the importance of being connected to the Father. But one day, I just imagine that David didn't charge his phone. It's around 1%. You know, when your phone gets around 1%, what come on, the little red light, right? When it's fully charged, it's on green. But that red light signifies a warning sign. And one day, I just believe that, I don't know what happened to David, but David allowed himself to get in a really bad situation because he wasn't charged. He wasn't connected that day. And David ended up having a man killed. And he also committed adultery. And it cost him dearly. That one day you decide, including myself, because as I'm speaking to you, I'm talking to myself, because the Holy Spirit convicted me of this, even while I was studying this message, that I need to spend more time in prayer. I need to spend more time with God. I need to turn the Memphis Grizzlies off because they just losing now and focus on God. Amen. So we have to be constantly connected. And the thing I like about our Father is in our time of prayer, not only do He protect us, we can also petition Him. It says, what? Make your request known unto Him. We can petition the Father. We have not because we ask not. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find help in a time of need. Let us go boldly, not in arrogance, but in boldness, because we're His children. Think about how much you love your daughter, your son. I thank God for my daughter. She's graduating from University of Tennessee, getting a doctorate degree today. But there's nothing that I won't try to do for her. There's nothing you won't do for Rachel. There's nothing you won't do for your daughter. There's nothing you won't do for your family. I don't care how old they get. You still love them. You still will be there for them doing this. Just imagine a million, a billion, a zillion times greater than the love our Heavenly Father has for us. So we can go before Him and talk. During our time of hurt, during our time of disappointment, during our time of shame, we can go before Him. He's not going to judge us. Your best friend or your brother or sister might judge you. He's not going to judge you. He's just going to love you. And that's what I love about Him. Amen? Amen. Let's read Hezekiah 2, verse 21 through 6. And this was another petition. Hezekiah 21:6. And it says, in those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. He was praying a prayer of petition right now. He was asking God. He said, remember, Lord, how I walked before you faithfully. So I'm quite sure Hezekiah was getting up early, praying to God. He was serving God. He said, remember how I walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. I'm quite sure there was sobbing, and crying, and just weeping before the Father. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord says. The God of your father David says, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. So in the prayer petition, you can ask God to heal you. It's not God's will for you to be sick. It's not God's will for you to die before your time. It's not God's will for you not to have the full abundant life that Jesus Christ paid for you on the cross. Amen. So petition God. Amen. He said, I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. Hezekiah petitioned the Father. And he added 15 years to his life. That's amazing. That Lord, I'm just not, he wasn't ready to die yet. So I don't care, you know, what the doctor might say. God is way more powerful than any doctor. God is more powerful. And we have to know that. Pray for long life. Pray for longevity. Speak words of positive confessions. I will not die before my time, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Not only will I see my grandchildren, but I will see my great-grandchildren. Because that's a promise. God said, what with long life will I satisfy you with and show you my salvation? That's a promise. Amen. So we understand that we can go before the Father and ask for protection. We also understand that we can go before the Father and make our petitions to him. But also, this is one of my favorite prayers. We can pray the promises of God. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands promises in the Word of God that we can pray. And if you don't know how to pray, ask God to show you how to pray. Just say, you can say Jesus. 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 Sometimes you might have challenges in your life. The only thing you can say is Jesus. Jesus. Because everything is in that name. The name of Jesus. Demons tremble at that name of Jesus. Lame bodies are healed at that name of Jesus. Disobedient children come home in the name of Jesus. So Jesus is all we need. But take that word, whatever storm you're going through, take that, find the scripture on it and apply it to whatever you're going through. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you might, like I said, you might not know what to pray for. But Ephesians 6:18, Paul says that we are to pray in the spirit in all occasions. And request, with this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for God's people around the world. That's Ephesians 6:18. He says sometimes that he don't know, is it better for him to pray in the spirit or pray in his heavenly language? But for the ones that know, praying in your heavenly language, the enemy can't interpret that. That's a connection between you and the Father. And he don't understand it. Amen. So Jesus started his earthly ministry with prayer and fasting. And as Jesus was getting ready to go back to the Father, he was praying. Even on the cross, he was praying. Father, forgive them, for they know not. Just imagine in your mind for a minute thinking, someone is murdering you, but you're still praying to your Father, asking them to forgive. What greater love? Even to the point of death, he was asking the Father to forgive his murders. And we was in that number. We was in that number. But we have a risen Savior that loves us so much. And the thing about our Father is that when Jesus was asking, Father, forgive them, God answered that prayer by opening up salvation to even the murderers that was killing Jesus. Salvation is for all of us. So I don't care. A lot of times we might say, oh, this is such a horrible person. But you might be the only Jesus that they ever receive. How are we representing Jesus on a daily basis? What if you was the only Jesus that they ever saw? Would it be a mean Jesus? Would it be a rude Jesus? What Jesus would they see? Or would it be a loving, a merciful, a gracious, a kind Jesus? Amen. And so, as we conclude, all heads bowed right now. For a moment, bow your head and close your eyes. Is there anyone in here right now that is holding unforgiveness towards anyone? Is there anyone in here that needs to make it right with a family member? Is there a coworker that you need to forgive? Have you had a bad business decision with a business partner that went bad? Or even a church member? The only way that you can have forgiveness of sin is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is that power source that we need to be connected to the Father. Jesus is the one that connects and charges us, because we can't go to God through our own name, but only through the name of Jesus. And I would like to ask, if that's you, raise your hand right now if you know you need to forgive someone of any sin. Or someone done you wrong, you know in your heart right now that you're holding unforgiveness. Raise your hand. Thank you for being honest. 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 And just in your quiet time, because I dare won't want to embarrass you, ask God right now to forgive you and to release that person of it. And if there's somebody in here right now, if you died and you knew heaven won't be your home, if you're not sure that if you was to walk out this door right now and you would be in the presence of God immediately, and you're not sure that you're saved, raise your hand right now. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. If you feel like one point in time in your life you was connected to God, but you feel like you're not connected to him right now, if that's you in there, raise your hand. If you feel like you haven't been praying and spending time with God, that you've been putting work in your business and your family before him, raise your hand. Thank you for being honest. So I like to just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, to those that raise their hand, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, you said that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you died and on the third day you rose, you would save me. So Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and to save me. And I thank you, Lord, that when I die, heaven will be my home. Let's give Jesus a round of applause in this place. Oh, man, come on. I know we can do better than that. God has been so good to us. Souls got saved, repentance took place, and more than anything, God was exalted, Jesus was glorified, and the enemy is horrified. What an awesome God we serve. And I thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. So, Lord, as we leave this place, I pray, God, that you would be with us. You would keep us. May your light shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Father, I honor you today. And I pray, God, that, Lord, your word went forth. Your word fell on good ground. Holy Spirit, I pray and I ask you, Father, that if anything came out of my mouth that doesn't line up with your word, Father, I ask that you would forgive me. But I thank you, Holy Spirit. Your word will fall on good ground. Your word will take root into the hearts of your people. We honor you, we thank you, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. God bless you guys. Amen.
Ken Napper, Ken, come up here. I want you to pray over Ronnie as he commissions. And have you actually started your church?
So we're actually in our church plant phase right now, where we're building our teams. We're buying facilities and all that stuff. So we're in the planting stage. So I definitely solicit your prayers during this time, because I know God wants to do something great for DeSoto County. And I said, once we start in DeSoto County, it's going to eventually spill over into Shelby County. So you'll see us soon.
Amen. Ken and Janet have a ministry in Olive Branch called Overcoming Abuse God's Way, and I want him to pray over you and y'all get connected. And,
yes, sir.
The key to that verse, Mark 1:35, is Jesus arose a great while before day. Amen. That's the key to that verse. Because that schedule, 168 hours in a week, it's like training for a triathlon. You can't soar with the eagles if you hoot with the owls. You got to get up early every single day. I was convicted, because I mean, I come through sometimes and I get the day started and I hadn't got girded like I needed to get girded. But Ken, get here and pray for this brother here, and we'll just get going here.
Father, I just love you today, God. I thank you for the word this morning. I thank you for my brother. I thank you for the calling on his life, God. And Lord, I just pray, God, as you tell us in your word, Lord, that you begin a good work, we'll finish it, Lord God, to the day of Jesus Christ, Lord. God, I pray a blessing on my brother. I pray a blessing on his church, Lord God. I pray, God, that you would just your favor would go before him, Father God. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would just open the windows of heaven, God, and pour out a blessing upon him and his congregation, Lord God. Lord God, that just greater things, God, Lord, than we could ever imagine, Lord God. Lord, that through this reconciliation, this word, you've given us the ministry of reconciliation, God. And Lord God, that we would bring together, Lord God, people from all walks of life and all ethnic backgrounds, Father God, Lord, that there would just be a, Lord, just a glorious, glorious movement, God, that started, Lord, through my brother, Lord, and through this church, God, using mightily, God. We know that you are, God. We've witnessed that this morning, Father God, and I just love you and praise you and give you the glory and the honor and, God, the praise, God, in Jesus' holy name. God, we love you this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
We'll have our host, Henry Hutton, come up here. Thank you, brother. That's a good word. Ronnie Johnson, you can remember that name. That's a great, great, great word. Thank you so much. Mark 1:35. And Henry's going to give us the Shelby Farms Great Commission Challenge. And we've got some really exciting things taking place out there. Don't forget the metal mailbox on the back, all right?
Well, I don't know what you've did this week and how you followed Jesus, but he does. And one of the things that I'm, you know, approaching 70 here pretty soon, about 3 years. One of the things I know that he's going to be thinking about, because he's taught me this over the decades, he's going to look at you one day, whether you're saved or not. This is on his heart. Lost people. Jesus said he came to seek and to save those who are lost. So I have a question for you this morning. There are 130 days are gone in this year. You got 236 left. How many people are in the kingdom of God because you shared the gospel with them this year?
Jesus. Woo.
If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So if zero is the answer, I would highly suggest as your brother, before you meet our King, that you change what you always do. And you don't any longer do what you've always done. Because Jesus promised us that the fields are white unto harvest, but the what are few? The laborers are few. So on Sunday at Shelby Farms, we meet at 5 o'clock. If you have a hard time sharing the gospel, then come on out about 5 o'clock. We meet at Sheffy's, and you can go out with some people who don't have a hard time sharing the gospel. Now, why don't they have a hard time sharing the gospel? Because at some point when they were following Jesus, they stopped doing what they've always done and decided to do something different, which is to get trained. You know, this is one of the neat things about Awaken Memphis. We spend a lot of time training. We don't just go out sharing the gospel. We also provide a way to teach people how to engage lostness. So if you have a hard time engaging lostness, then you need to come on out. Ed's back. I hope he's there Sunday. Ed's been out of town. You want to go out with somebody that's very confident in sharing the gospel that God uses all the time out there to get professions of faith? Go out with Ed. He'd love to take you out. It's fun to go out with Ed. Do you have a hard time sharing the gospel and it's not fun? You're doing it wrong. Talking about Jesus is fun. If you can't talk about Jesus, then, he said, I might not talk about you before my Heavenly Father. So this is the command. Jesus said, go. Go do what? Go make disciples. So I don't want to go on too long this week, but how many people in the last week did you engage? Just write the number down in your head. How many people in the last month have you engaged? And then when you shared the gospel, what'd you do? Did you leave the baby on the side of the road? If they came to faith in Christ, did you tell them, oh, baby, by the way, get to church next week. You don't need to eat for 7 days. Just leave that baby right there in the dirt. Well, maybe God needs you to learn a little bit more about what it meant when he said to go make a disciple. He didn't just say go share the gospel, did he? No, he said go make a disciple. So maybe you've been leaving so many of his babies on the side of the road. Uh-oh. He decided, wait a minute, I'm going to put you on the sideline for a second, and I'm going to get this prepared heart and go to this guy. Because who are we going to go look for? We're going to look for prepared hearts. So I know I'm preaching to the choir when I'm preaching to all of you, but we all need to hold each other accountable. Because if we don't, what happens? It's too easy because the enemy lets the weak slip by. And I say all this to do two things. Put you on a guilt trip. Jesus doesn't, but I guess Henry does. Yeah, I kind of do. I'm in sales. Come on. You know, you start the month at zero. Yeah, so you're going to start June with zero souls won for the Lord in Henry's head. And I hope that gets in your head too. So please come on out to Shelby Farms at 5 o'clock. We end about 7. We go out into the fields, which are white under harvest. We meet 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 different nationalities. We have gospel tracts in 4 languages that we'll send with you if you want one. If you don't want a gospel tract, that's okay too. And so we hope we'll see you out here at Shelby Farms this week. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word because, Father, we thank you that we understand that you're always available to us. And, Father, yet you are very interested in your children talking to you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we also ask for prepared hearts this week as we go not only to Shelby Farms, but as we go live life with you. Father, be at the front of our thoughts. Be at the front of our minds. Father, give us prepared hearts. Give us a winsome way and open the doors so that we can see where the fields are white for harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.